Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm still Alan Collier, of course, but I have with me Yarra Valley Water. First of all, we've got Natalie and Christian. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us, Alan.
Thank you.
No worries. Now, I know we Yarra Valley Water have got a very prestigious ward, but first of all, I want to talk a little bit about water, because we don't know, it's one of those products, called a product, that nobody thinks about until either there's a water pipe burst down the street and all of a sudden they turn the water off, or we've got a drought and people can't use water. It's the only time you think about water, and I go to the tap water, you know, 50 times a day, never give it a thought. But I've driven past dams, so I know there's water there, but I'm intrigued just basically how the water gets to us, not just through pipes, because that's a really easy answer, but what sort of steps, you know, what happens to it? Because, I mean, obviously a lot of the stuff sitting in the dams can be contaminated, so it has to... So is someone going to tell me just basically, for a guy who doesn't know much about it and can understand it, how it gets to our tap place?
I'm happy to give that a go. So most of our water comes from dams that are in what we call protected catchments, so no human activity, no agriculture, which means the water is quite clean when it gets into those dams. And the water's tested even in those dams to make sure it isn't getting contaminated.
Do they? While it's still sitting in the dam?
Absolutely, yep. To test background levels of things that might be in the catchment, like birds. Then from there, Melbourne Water operate those dams and sell the water onto Yarra Valley Water. Yep. They run it through treatment plants.
Is it? I don't want to keep interrupting you, but like, is it heated to get stuff out, or does it go through very fine filters, or what's actually the process?
It's a great question, because the process can be slightly different depending on the dam and depending what goes on in the catchment. For most of Melbourne, it's very little treatment. Just a little bit of chlorine is added, adjust the pH level to make sure it's not too acidic or too alkaline, and then it's good to go through the pipes.
So that's really all it has to do?
Yep, when it comes out of Sylvan Reservoir, that's all it has to do. Some of the other dams require a little bit more treatment. It can be filtered. So the supply here in Healesville is filtered as well. And then when it comes through the pipes, a lot of our network runs by gravity, doesn't need big pumps or electricity, because they designed an amazing system 100 years ago.
That amazed me. I would have thought you'd have said it all had to be pumped.
No, it doesn't. A lot of the old parts of Melbourne, it's all gravity fed. A lot of the newer suburbs require pumping, and obviously at the top of hills and things like that, but it's a magnificently designed system. And then it goes into either some tanks, which is a great way for us to make sure if there is a burst, we've got some more water there. Yep. And then sometimes goes through pumps, depending on the geography. And sometimes we have to reduce the pressure, because we don't want to blow your fixtures off the wall.
Sounds fair. In the glorious Yarra Valley, does all the water come out of the Sylvan Dam, or do you take water from somewhere else?
The Yarra Valley's got quite a few different things going on. Yep. So a lot along the Warburton Highway comes out of Upper Yarra Reservoir. Right. And then there's little treatment plants where most of the treatment is UV, so UV lamps to kill bugs and some chlorine. Healesville is actually not out of Maroondah Dam, although people would think it is.
Yeah, I would have thought
so. Yeah, there's a couple of aqueducts upstream of Maroondah Dam, and that's where the water for Healesville comes from. But the vast majority, especially when you get into the suburbs, out of eastern suburbs of Melbourne, is from Sylvan.
I think it was you and I were talking one day about rejuvenating around one of those dams, wasn't it? Do I recall about that?
We were talking about doing some rejuvenation at one of our sewage treatment plants.
I thought it was
launching
around.
Place. Yeah.
No. So it comes from where, the Upper Yarra.
Yes. Yep.
What about places like Bonnie Doon? Does any water come out of Bonnie Doon?
So you're referring to the north-south pipeline that got built back in the millennial drought, that had the option to move water from Eildon down to Melbourne.
Yep.
That pipeline is not in operation.
Is it? Oh, well, that's fair enough. Well, yeah, I think that was caused. There was a few hassles at the time, wasn't there? So we're going to leave it alone. I don't want to get down there. So let me just ask you this, and then we'll get off this subject. So a bit of water dribbles out of the dam at this second.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
So how long is it going to take before it gets to my tap?
That is a complicated question.
I want an easy answer because I'm an easy guy.
So in hot weather, it'll get there a lot quicker because we have a lot more demand. But it does. Some people are almost directly connected, so it might be there in a matter of hours. Sometimes if it goes through tanks, it might be a day or two that it might take to get to your tap.
Now, I'm just intrigued, and you said it gets there a lot faster on a hot day, and I understand what you're saying there, but you also say it's all gravity feed. So how can you alter the speed of the water coming down?
We have a lot of really smart engineers that do a lot of design work to make sure that when the water moves faster through the pipes, you're right, the friction means that you can lose a little bit of pressure.
Yep.
So you might notice on those really hot days, the pressure might be a little bit lower, but the water can still get there. And then in our systems that rely on pumps, which we do have quite a lot of pumps, we have more pumps and more pumps turn on.
See, that amazes me because on a hot day, if I go to the tap and it's running slow, I think, every clown in the street is watering. But it's not necessarily that at all. It could be that it's the pressure has been brought down.
The pressure would be brought down by every person in the street potentially turning their hose on at once. That can happen.
Right.
It has to be like everyone turning the hose on at once though.
Yeah. All right, I'll take a quick break, but then we're going to come back and talk about this award, and we're going to at least let Natalie say something. So far, she just sat there, smiled, so we're not going to let her keep doing that too long. Listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 20 minutes past 2, 17 degrees. And I think we're heading for, 18 degrees, so we're just about there. All right. So now, really, the whole purpose that we really wanted to talk to today was about a prestige award that Yarra Valley Water have got. But I was really keen to find out how we got it to the tap, because we give nothing at all. Natalie, just before I talk to you, what got you into the water industry? Did you come straight from uni, or did you have some other career path, or what did you do?
Thanks for the question, Alan. I actually started my career in finance. So I've got a business, background.
Bit of a difference to water.
Yeah, but look at where it leads you. So one of the great things about studying commerce and business and majoring in accounting is it opens up your pathways into many different industries.
Yep.
And so, you know, I've had the, you know, opportunity to build my career in telecommunications, in wholesale and manufacturing and retail businesses.
So you've had a really diversified background.
Yes, and now here in the water industry. So yeah. I'm the CFO at Yarra Valley Water. That's my day job. But very lucky, at the moment I'm doing a secondment into the operations area. So working with Kristen here side by side and learning a lot about what's happening on the front line in particular, and working with the engineers as well.
All right. Now, I thought water was water. I really did. I admit that. I know, other than, as I say, I turn the tap on. If it's there, I'm happy. If it's not, I'm not. But I didn't know that there would be anything such as a competition to get the best tasting water. And we'll say straight up that Yarra Valley Water have won that competition. First of all, when did the competition start? And what started it? Somebody had to come up with the idea and say, well, we're going to try and find the best water out. Do you know where it started and how?
That's a really good question, actually, about when it started. I know it's been going on for some years. I can't exactly tell you the first date the competition actually started, but it certainly is an annual event that we have. It's run by the Water Industry Operations Association, and they have a conference annually where they run this competition. It's a bit like a wine tasting panel.
Yep.
So if you can imagine that, it's a competition which has got a panel with technical water experts and water connoisseurs who come together. And, they have a number of samples there from all the different, participating water authorities, regional and metropolitan. Yarra Valley Water was one of them. We're very lucky to participate in that. They're looking for things like colour, clarity, odour and taste. And we're very thrilled that we've come up on top this year.
Yeah. So It's not against just the one criteria. It's against a number of them.
A number of criteria. That's it. Yeah.
So they stand there with a glass of water, and they all test that as part of it as well.
Yes. Yeah. So they're looking at the colour of it, the clarity, what it tastes like, what it smells like, all of that.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
I didn't know any about this. All right. So. And that's for the Victorian one you've won, isn't it?
Yes,
that's for
right.
Victoria.
Yep.
So is that a competition that's only held in Victoria, or is it national, international, or what?
So far, we've been very lucky to come up on top for the Victorian side of things. We are heading into the nationals. We're looking forward to that. So that's going to be held in Tasmania in November.
Based on the same criteria as you've got up to now?
Yep. Yes, yes.
Yep.
Fingers crossed. We're excited.
And so are we talking like every... Who are you up against? Are you against every state or every water company?
Look, it'll be a range of water businesses from across Australia participating in that. So it'll be the likes of Sydney Water. You might have some utilities from Queensland, for instance. Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Yeah, so it'll be just... let me go back just one step. So they've all had a competition as well, and they've picked the best one in Sydney, the best one in Queensland, Western Australia and all
that's
that.
That's right.
So you'll be up against all the other states.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so every state would have had their own competitions. We've had ours in Victoria, and that was held in Bendigo this year in February. And so now whoever's won each of those state competitions will be head-to-head in the nationals in Tasmania.
So, and when's that?
In November.
I'd be interested to see how you go. All right, so then you do that. Is there an international competition or is it in that just a national?
Yes, there is an international water tasting competition, Alan. That's held in the US. I believe it's held in West Virginia later on. So we'll see how we go. If we're successful, we're not jumping ahead of ourselves here, but because it is tough competition.
I just want to know what the future could hold. So how would, and I don't want to pick on because some of the third world countries wouldn't be in this competition, would they? Because, I mean, well, we know some of the water in those places are really bad.
Mm. Yeah, one of the criteria for entry in the competition is that we have to have met all of our compliance and regulatory requirements to even enter the competition.
Yeah. I was just wondering how, you know, some of these third world countries, well, I mean, people get sick from their water. And that's something we should mention too, that in Australia you just rock up to the tap and you have a drink and nothing goes wrong. But in some of these countries, I mean, people get sick because of the quality of the water, don't they?
Absolutely.
And we should be grateful for that.
Yeah, and what I'm really grateful for with Yarra Valley Water is that we actually have opportunities to mentor, particularly in Southeast Asia, to mentor other water utilities that aren't as lucky, yes. So I've had the opportunity to mentor a water utility and that helped us with that mentor program as well in Indonesia.
All right. So I'm intrigued. I haven't travelled to Indonesia and that. So they've obviously got big dams the same because you never ever see any of these.
The water utility that we worked with had a dam, like did have a surface water supply, but a lot of groundwater as well.
Oh, it's mainly ground. All right, we'll take a quick break and we're going to come back with more. I'm really intrigued with this conversation. Of course, that was our own Kylie and Do the Locomotion, and that was a song that was in three different decades. Little Eva did the first one. Now the memory was gone. The second one was someone else. And Kylie, there was hits in three different decades, which is very unusual for any song. Now, one of my pet things is I can't see why people buy bottled water. But anyway, why should people switch from bottled water? Well, I know, for a start off, people are saying that times are a bit tough. So why would you go and buy bottled water when you can, for a few cents, you can get out the tap water? But you obviously, being in the water industry, have got a few ideas as to why people should swap.
Yes, Alan, that's right. And, you know, at Yarra Valley Water, we are specifically on a mission to reduce single-use plastics for that very reason. There's an environmental reason behind it, but also, as you mentioned, you know, tap water can be, you know, 2,000 times cheaper than bottled water, which is a really important thing when we know that a lot of our community are really struggling at the moment with cost of living challenges and affordability. So that's why we've got our Choose Tap initiative. At Yarra Valley Water, we founded this initiative, and we're really about encouraging people to ditch bottled water and really choose tap water instead. And why would you not when we've got some of the best tasting tap water in the world?
Absolutely. So, and you don't know where the water's coming, because I think some of that water, and I don't want to be sued here, but I think some of that water that you buy in bottles is from overseas too, isn't it? I don't think it's all Australian water.
It can be, yeah, depending on where they're sourcing it from. But, you know, look, there's many reasons why, you know, we should be looking to convert to tap water instead. You know, not only is it cheaper and better for your pocket, but if you think about the impact on the environment, Alan, you know, there's more than 375 million plastic drinking bottles which end up in our landfill. 375 million plastic drinking bottles each year, which ends up in landfill or in our waterways. So it's a lot of plastic and a lot of harm to the environment, and that's why really we're here on a mission to try and promote less use of bottled you know, water and really convert to
tap water. I can't see why people ever switched over to, because I mean, to buy a drink bottle is probably $5-$10, or you might even pay $15, but one tap, one fill of it will almost, if you're going to pay $6 or $5 or $4 for a bottle of water, you only have to have $4 or $5, and you've paid for the milk bottle. I've paid for the drink bottle, and it'll stay better in that than what it will in the plastic.
Too right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, and I'll ask you, ladies, and this is probably a bit unfair because you're not actually scientists either of you, but I'm told that bottle, if it sits in a hot car in the sun for a while, that it can get some impurities out of the plastic into the water. Is that right, or am I not being fair?
Yeah, there's been a lot of research into what can sort of leach from plastics into water bottles, and that's why the sort of composition of water bottles has changed over time, and the ones you get to be reusable are different to those sort of disposable ones that you buy that you're not encouraged to reuse.
But a lot of them aren't reusable, are they? A lot of them are just the one use.
Yeah, they're designed to be single use.
Yeah. So you'd be better off to buy the drink bottle, and you're going to fill it up for a couple of cents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this campaign, like, how long's that campaign been going? And when you say it's a campaign, I haven't seen it. Is it in the media, or how are we running that?
Yeah, so the Choose Tap campaign was originally founded by Yarra Valley Water back in 2011. And what we've done is we've actually spread this across the nation now. So it's a national network of Australia's leading water suppliers or water utilities who've come together to promote Choose Tap. And what that is really across the community, in the parklands, in the sporting grounds, you'll be able to often find these refiller stations where you can actually bring your bottle along and refill from those stations. Since then, we've actually expanded the Choose Tap program to the Choose Tap Refiller initiative. And this refiller initiative is really about trying to get more businesses and cafes on board as well. So often when you walk past a cafe, you might see a nice blue sticker, a teardrop sticker or a water drop sticker on the windows. Yep. And that means you can go in there and ask for a refill, or there might be a refilling station. And there's no obligation. You know, you just simply line up and bring your bottle.
And no cost?
No cost, no. Obviously, if you've got a few dollars to buy a muffin, our local businesses would really appreciate that. But, this is really about promoting, you know, less bottled water and really encouraging more businesses to help us on that journey.
So people can't even use the excuse, it's a lot more convenient, because, you know, if I fill my bottle up and it runs out while I'm out, then I've got to buy a bottle of water. But you don't have to. You can just go along to one of those businesses and fill up for free.
Yes, yes. And we are looking for more businesses to help join us on this mission. So, you know, we've got about 160 cafes at the moment signed up across 34 suburbs across Melbourne. We know some of them are in the Lilydale area, for instance, but the more we can get on board, the better. So really encourage people to register.
Again, just tell us how we're going to find it.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of ways. We've got people on the ground knocking on doors, obviously, yep. to help you know, promote the program. But you can also hop onto our website at www.yarravalleywater.com.au /refiller and register yourself, and we'll send out a nice startup package to be able to help them get started.
But what I'm thinking of is you're in, like I went to Gippsland the other day, so if I wanted to refill, I look for a... What on the shop?
A blue water drop sticker. Yep.
Beaut. So you look for that, and you know that they're not going to embarrass you by saying, well, you shouldn't be coming in just for water. They're part of the scheme, so they're quite happy to let you fill up.
Absolutely.
And go on your way.
Absolutely.
Yep. Be nice to buy a muffin, but I'm not sure it'd do us any good around the stubby. All right, I've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Natalie and Kristen from Yarra Valley Water, something that we should be proud of, and that's why we've got them in to talk about it, is about the quality of the water. They've won the for Victoria the best tasting water, and we should be proud of that, because, as I was saying at the start, a lot of us don't take much notice of what I don't until something's happened and the but there's been a burst pipe and it's turned off. And then I think, oh, I wonder what's going on here. But anyway, the other thing too is that we are doing another interview with Yarra Valley Water. It's in a few weeks' time, talking about the concession card. Yarra Valley Water believe there's probably up to 100,000 people in the Yarra, in our catchment area. Well, not catchment area, I meant radio catchment area, not water catchment area, that are missing out. So we've been talking quite a bit the last few weeks about how tough it is on people. So this is something that's available. We won't talk about it now, but we do have an interview coming up with that. So keep a listen out, and I think it'll be really worthwhile listening to, because if we can save a dollar, let's do it. Now, Kristen, I'm going to ask you a bit more about this, because this idea of the water and winning the award and all that really intrigues me. But so, do you only test your water once a year? Do you test it daily, or and what sort of testing do you do?
Yeah, we test it a lot. so we have over 1,000 sites across our network. Our water network is about 10,000 kilometres worth of pipes.
Just in the Yarra Valley mainly?
So that's probably the eastern, northeastern, northern suburbs of Melbourne. We service over 700,000 households and about 2 million people.
Yep.
And we take over 7,000 water samples a year. So yes, it is sampled almost daily, and we make sure we take samples all over the place so that we can make sure that our water is safe across our whole supply area.
All right, so where do you get the samples? Like, are they all when it's coming out of the dam, or are they all, like, do you have sites around Melbourne where you go to and do you tap in the water and test it, or what?
Yeah, all of the above. So our tank sites we sample from, because they are the one part of our network that's above ground and and could be a source of contamination if something was to happen to that tank. And then we have taps outside people's houses all over our network.
Do you?
Yep.
So you just rock up at a house and take a bit of water. No, I shouldn't say take, I don't mean that, but you get a bit out of their garden tap. And
it's like a garden tap, but it's designated as a sample tap.
Ah,
so the
so
homeowner
people know.
Knows, they
yep.
know that
yep.
they have a tap there and from time to time. And it's randomised, so we don't determine. It's done by an independent laboratory, and they have a range of taps to choose from, and they take the samples randomly to make sure it's representative of all of the water that we're supplying.
So when you get that sample, then it goes off to a laboratory somewhere?
Yep, it goes off to an independent laboratory, and they sample it for a range of different things. Some things we sample every week or every month. Sometimes it's less frequently, depending on what we want to sample for. And if there's a problem, if it's outside the limits, they'll ring us straight away, and then we'll work with the Department of Health to make sure that the water's safe and that we have a good response to that.
So that would only be by contamination, would it, like, say a dead bird's got into something, or is that the only way that it gets contaminated, or...?
It's very hard for the water to get contaminated, but there are times if... So sometimes in those extreme weather events, if you have a big tree fall down on a tank and then an animal gets in, it has to be a Swiss cheese of things that go wrong. We have a lot of... We like to refer to it as our multiple barriers. We have lots of things in place.
Yep.
And that's why we also put a little bit of chlorine in the water, so that if something does get in, if a bug does get in, the chlorine's there to kill it as well.
Well, if there's a major fire, and this is probably pretty unfair to ask you, if you have a major fire in a dam area, and there's, apart from the fact that, you know, the firefighters are out using all this stuff, does that contaminate your water at all, or do you have a problem with that at all?
You can, and it is really, really closely monitored. The worst scenario would be a fire and then a major rainfall event that can wash all of that ash into the dam.
Oh, yep.
We can do amazing things. Melbourne Water can do amazing things with those dams around where they take the water out. So they might take it lower down in the dam. They can. And they do amazing monitoring of, like, the layers in the dam. And they have some great tools that they use to monitor and make sure they're taking the best water they can.
I've learned a lot here. So it's not just a case of either dragging it out the bottom or the top, that they can actually have pipes at various levels, and they can take it from various levels.
In some of their dams they can, yes.
And that water could vary, like from really pure to something that might have a bit of contamination?
Yeah, it can stratify depending on the weather, and then it's
what's that word mean?
Separate into layers in the dam, and then at certain times of the year, depending on what the temperature and the weather's doing, it might all mix up again.
Gee whiz, I'm amazed. I'm totally amazed. I didn't know there was this much in water, to be honest, and I guarantee you that 95% of my audience now have learned a terrible lot. They just don't know.
It's a great career. That's why I've been in it for so long.
Yeah. Well, you have been, haven't you? You've been part... I think we did your history last time. You've been in a long while, haven't you?
Yeah, over 18 years.
Yeah, so... All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Speak to the sky whenever things go wrong, and you know you're not talking to the air. To the air, and the world will look better from up there. Speak to the sky, 'cause things can get you down, and you'll know when you're talking to the Lord. To the Lord, the world will look better than before. And if I stumble and seems awful hard to find, and though my conversation doesn't always rhyme, I always try to find some time to speak to the sky and tell you how I feel. And you know, sometimes what I say ain't right. It's alright, 'cause I speak to the sky every night.
Welcome back to Community Connections. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. It's 10 minutes to 3. Can't believe how quick the 3 hours have gone. 17 degrees. Oh, we're nearly at the top. 18. I don't know if there's been any showers because I haven't been out of the studio. Ladies, was there any rain out there?
Not beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful,
terrific.
Sunshine.
Probably when I walk out the door, it'll start to pour. Look, one of the things that we've alluded to, and I certainly brought it up a while ago, was about third world countries, and I was talking about them being in the testing because obviously they, you know, a lot of water over there, a lot of stuff has to happen. But over here, we don't have to even consider boiling water, do we?
No, that's right, Alan. So I just wanted to take the opportunity really to spread the message that we're really fortunate here in Melbourne that we have clean and safe, pleasant drinking water straight from our taps. And
yep.
So you know, we've got a really diverse community, and not many people who come from overseas probably realise that you don't need to boil your water when you come here to Melbourne and into Australia for that matter. Really, you know, world-class, you know, drinking water straight from the taps is what we've got. No need to boil that. And really that's because of the fact that where the water comes from, as Kristen was explaining earlier on, is really from this concept of protected catchment areas. Yep. And so it's already pristine, it's already world-class, doesn't need a lot of treatment.
And with the exception of the few of the dams that have been created in the last 20 or 30 years, which is fairly few, most of these have been dams for 100 years, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Yeah, that's right.
So they haven't had... Like, it's not a case of where stuff's been built right beside dams and all that, because they were designated as dams a long, long while ago. So they haven't had people living in houses and that.
No, there's not a lot of agricultural or human activity around it, and the natural forest area around it acts as a natural filtration for that area and the water. Yep. And so, yeah, we're very, very lucky, and we've got the foresight, you know, of our engineers who have developed that gravity-led system that Kristen talked about.
I can't believe that. I know Kristen knows all she's talking about, and so I don't say I don't believe it, because I don't distrust her, but what I'm saying, it's hard to believe. What I'm trying to get my mind around the fact that over 100 years ago, people were so smart that they were able to design gravity feed. I find that hard to... I guess not hard to believe. I find it hard to grasp with, to be honest.
I think it's amazing, and my only hope is that in 100 years' time, people can look back at all the infrastructure we're building today and have the same thoughts.
Do you really think they will?
I think we are still building some amazing things.
I'm not talking about the water industry there, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm not sure some of the things that we're doing now in 100 years is going to be... Anyway, sorry, Natalie, I didn't mean to cut across you.
No, you're right, Alan. I think it's been wonderful to have the opportunity really to share, you know, a little bit about more on water and where it comes from today, and also all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. But importantly, we've got some of the world's best tasting tap water here in Melbourne. And so, you know, just it's really about building awareness across the community. Then we don't need to boil the water. It's already great from the tap.
Now, I know you're involved in the financial side of it, so you should be able to give me a rough idea. How many people are involved with Yarra Valley Water to get this clear water?
Yeah, look, we've got, you know, 100 plus personnel across our workforce at Yarra Valley Water, but we also work with a lot of partners as well. So we've got to really take that into consideration and account, because we're really proud to work as a team with them. There's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes, and we don't do it alone.
Well, I would say, to be honest with you, 99% of it goes behind the scenes, because I've had no idea how the water got here, and I'm sure nobody gives much of a thought to it until one day, for some reason, neither it's been turned off because of a tap for a leak down the street, and I'm just amazed at how much work goes in, and I'm absolutely staggered that the amount of testing you do, which is fantastic, because that guarantees what's coming into our pipes is pure.
Absolutely.
Okay, David Kirsten nodding your head. She's agreeing with me, but this is radio. Ladies, we've still got a couple of minutes to go. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Yarra Valley Water before we have to wrap it up?
I think Nat said it really well, but I think we take great pride in you being able to go to your tap, turn it on every morning, flush your toilet, and it goes away. And there's so many hardworking people behind the scenes that make that happen every day.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may not want to answer it, and that's fine. Do you ever think we'll get to the stage one day where we've got two sources of water supply to our house, one grey water that for gardens and that, and one into the house for so that we get the best, or do you think that's just never going to happen?
It's already happening. We've got quite quite a lot of households in new suburbs and new developments that do have two pipes to their house.
Do
we
you?
Call it a third pipe. So they have a blue pipe, which is the water that they can use for drinking water, food preparation, and bathing. And then they have a purple pipe, which is connected to their toilet and for their washing machine if they choose, and to water their garden. We've got estates in Croydon that have that already, and then a lot of the northern suburbs. And it is treated wastewater that we treat to a really, really high standard. If you put it in a glass, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
But you wouldn't be drinking it, though, would you?
No, it's really safe for, like, human contact, so you can water your vegetables with it, you can wash your car with it, but it's not for drinking.
Why would that happen, Kirsten? No, is it mainly that we just can't put enough through the dams, or is it just that it's more viable to have it as grey water?
It's a great security of supply. So the more water we can recycle, the less we have to take out of our waterways. And it can often be a more local source of water too if those treatment plants are nearby, so we don't have to move the water as far.
And would they, if these, well, you're saying it's already happening, do they have their own dam or something where they pump the water in and pump it out again, or where do they store the grey water?
So it's not stored. We make it and we put it into a network of pipes, pumps and tanks, just like the drinking water. So it just comes, there's two water meters at the front of the house and taps that work exactly the same.
Oh, there you go. I didn't think that. I'd heard that they said one day they were going to do it, or thought they would do it, but because some of these ideas pop up when there is a drought, don't they? And then, and I'm not talking about water now, there's a whole lot of things, because there's a bit of an emergency on, and then as soon as the emergency goes, people say, oh, well, forget that, and move on to something else. Righto, I've still got a minute and a half. Is there anything you wanted to say just to wind up that?
Oh, look, just really thank you for the opportunity to really just help us enforce, awareness around water. We've got some of the best water here in Melbourne. No need to boil it. And then obviously just a recap on our Choose Tap initiative as well. And so look out for those businesses, Alan, I suppose, with the blue sticker on the window.
With a drop, isn't it?
Yeah, and encourage cafes to sign up if they haven't already done so.
Yep, come to Yarra Valley Water. And sign up, because it's a great idea, and I just don't know why anyone buy bottled water. Ladies, it's unfortunately time's kicking on. It's time for me to start to move on, but thank you for coming in. And just a quick reminder, I just haven't got the date with me, but in the next few weeks we are having someone in from Yarra Valley Water. I mean, everybody's doing it tough, and if you are able to and you fit the criteria, why wouldn't you sign up for one of the cards and get a bit cheaper water? I mean, everything's going up, and why not? Ladies, thank you for your time. I've got to fill in about 30 seconds, but I do thank you for your time for coming in. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us. We've certainly learned a lot about water that I didn't know, and as I say, in all honesty, I reckon probably 90% of us didn't know about how much testing goes into water and how to get it. But certainly sign up and go and take your bottle, buy a bottle, one of these drink bottles. They don't cost a fortune. You can buy them from about $8 to $16, $20, and sign up for it. This is Alan Collier saying goodbye. I'll be back next Wednesday between 12 and 3, and also Sunday night if you want to listen to some good rock and roll between 6 and 8 p.m. the Rock and Roll Hit Parade.